are about to hear are the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
Seem to understand. I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone! Welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name is Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California. Member of the National Association of Realtors, but please don't hold that against me. Here to help you overcome all your fears relating to achieving your goals. Of course, my focus most of the time is going to be on real estate. We're going to, you know, but you know, in the process of having success in real estate and some failures, I've learned a lot about overcoming various obstacles that are placed in front of us. I've observed tons of my clients kind of do the same. Some of them have taken huge risks and some have been rewarded and some have had to pay a price. But you know, in the long run, all of those people, even the ones who failed initially, if they stuck to it, ended up getting into a good place. So I guess that could be our watchwords for the show, getting to a good place. If that means a really great cash flow for you and being able to afford all the things that you need to afford for day-to-day life so you can free yourself up for other things, whether that's family, fun, or frolic, whatever it may be, that's what we're about. I know the show started off as a strictly real estate-focused show, but I'm trying to broaden it, as I've said before, make a bigger tent. And so we will discuss not only things relating specifically to real estate, but just finding those moments when folks have succeeded or finding those moments when folks have had insights. And, you know, insights come from both good and bad experiences. So we're not just going to be a rah-rah team here where we just talk about the successes. We're going to talk about the failures too so that you can learn from them and move on from them and move on to the success. You know, and we can at some point we can have a broader discussion about what I've done. You know, I was first licensed in real estate in 1988. I've done a lot of things between then and now. I haven't just done real estate. I've worked for large corporations in high tech when I wanted to kind of get off and do some of that for a while. I've started my own companies that some have done well and some have done horribly to the point where they no longer exist. But every single one of those was a learning experience. In fact, you know, maybe it's a bit of a cliche, but you tend to learn more from those failures than you do from the successes. At least it feels that way. Maybe learning lessons just is supposed to feel painful. We're going to talk today about some interesting number that's coming from Redfin, which may be some cold water on some people's party. They're definitely harshing the collective mellow of a lot of people who are talking about how wonderful the market is out there. So we will absolutely hit on that. One other thing I wanted to mention is that I am now opening the show up to potential sponsorships. The show will be migrating over to a different host very soon. That will be an invisible migration for all of you in terms of worrying about what you're pointing at. But it will be obvious when it's happened because things will just get better. Currently, the show is hosted through Blog Talk Radio, which only supports MP3 files, and the quality at the beginning of shows in Blog Talk Radio leaves a little to be desired. My new host is going to provide higher quality files for you, so the audio quality is going to be improved. You'll also find that because I'll be using M4A files, which are a different type of audio file, you don't need to really care about that. But depending on the device you're using, you'll be able to see images. You'll be able to click on links as I have them embedded in the show. So it'll be a much cooler way to interact with the show. And there's nothing but good things coming from this. I'm going to be opening up the show to sponsors, and I'm going to be Absolutely. And just as a note to sponsors, there will be a page at the website at www.therebelbroker about sponsorships coming. It's not there yet. This is kind of a relatively new decision. I'll absolutely be limiting the number of sponsors per show, and I will absolutely not just blindly sponsor stuff on the show. It's going to have to get the Rebel Broker seal of approval first, and I am a difficult guy to please sometimes. So we'll see how that all goes. I have a couple of guests that I've jotted down that I have access to that I'm thinking about doing future shows on. A couple of familiar faces from shows long past that might be on the show. I am hot to talk to anyone out there who, whether they want to share a success or a failure relating to growing their business or things that they've overcome, and of course, all of you too. I would love to hear the questions that are burning most in your minds. What do you want to know? What when you think about things that scare you about achieving your goals, what are those things? Because I want to try and help find answers for those to help you navigate those more troubling waters. Let's go ahead and jump right in, talk a little bit about the news. Now, this, as I said, comes to us from Redfin. I'm reading this on HousingWire. You can probably find it just about anywhere. But Redfin has debuted a new housing demand index. It's got a few people freaked out. Home buyer demand, which is an early indicator of housing market performance, was up 13% year over year in June. The smallest increase in January, according to Redfin's new housing demand index, which debuted Thursday at a level of 113. That's a direct quote from the article. Now, the index is based on millions of visits to Redfin, home listing pages, and thousands of Redfin customers requesting home tours and writing offers in 15 major metro areas. Redfin uses its demand data through mid-July and industry housing data from 15 major metro areas to forecast changes in year-over-year home prices and sales in the current month and 1 month ahead. The demand index is scaled to equal 100 on January 2013, which is the first month of the estimation period. So there's a little graphique here, which be through the magic of M4As, I will be able to include in the in this audio file, which will be a nice handy thing. You'll only be able to view it once the transition has been made over to Redfin. And just so you know, this will go up to Blog Talk Radio. Everything's going to be seamless. When the change does come, I will be re-uploading the shows that I've done since Monday have all been done under the new system. So they've all been rendered as the newer file type. The first couple I don't think had anything magic in them. Everything since Wednesday, everything since day before yesterday, will have enhanced content. It'll have images embedded and other cool stuff. So you don't need to look for that stuff in any of the earlier shows. Any of the shows that predate Wednesday won't have it. But if you're going to be looking for graphics, if I reference graphics and what I'm talking about, you'll be able to find it embedded in the podcast. And I think it depends on your player as to whether or not it'll actually display that stuff for you. I believe if you watched it at the website, I have yet to have tested this yet, but I'm guessing it will show up there for you. So there's that. What's interesting about this is about this Redfin graph that we're going to be able to see is all about anticipating demand. And I'm seeing 2015 January, and I'm seeing February and March and April and May and June. And what's interesting is it goes up, up, up from January and then peaks and then goes down. It hits June. It hits March, April. It looks like April or May it peaks and it starts going down. If you look at the same time last year, it's happening earlier. And it's more dramatic than last year. There were slight declines starting in February all the way down to November and December. But this is more sharp. There was a much sharper jump in demand in, I think that's March, February, March. But then it started a much bigger decline at the end. So this is some concerning data, I'm guessing, for some folks. Let's see here. Let me go back to the story. It indicates here that, and I'm quoting, although the demand index followed a similar seasonal pattern to previous years in 2015, increasing from January to April, then beginning to decline this year, this year's 6.7% decline from May to June is steeper than the 3.9% decrease for the same period in 2014. Year-over-year, Redfin forecast home prices will be up about 4.3% in July and just 2.2% in August. The number of homes sold in July is expected to grow by 14.3% year-to-year and by 4.6% in August. Two major factors driving the forecast are fewer people making offers and lower list prices for homes going under contract. Quote, home buyers are still touring in force, but they're more price sensitive, said Nella Richardson, Redfin chief economist. Fewer are making offers, and when they do, they're buying less expensive homes. The median list price of pending homes fell by $10,000 to $300,000 in just the last 2 weeks. So what does that tell us about market influences? I mean, that, when you think about that as a buyer, that's actually pretty good from a buyer standpoint. You're seeing that the willingness of folks to pay more is stunted. They're not willing to pay that much more. So what does that tell us in terms of what buyers might be thinking? Well, I think one reasonable suggestion or one conclusion that you could draw from this would be that buyers might want to relax in terms of feeling a sense of urgency about purchasing right now. It sounds like we're experiencing a slowdown where if things keep going apace, what you might find is less competition as we move into the winter months or move into the school starting, so fall on into winter. It wouldn't surprise me if we start to see a situation that's a little bit more beneficial to buyers. If this hesitation – and it's also – remember, we've talked about price banding in shows before where you sort of can figure out you can dial in closer to what your competition will actually be based on what's happening in your price point. Now, unfortunately, I can't give you a universal price banding analysis. Price banding is market specific. So if you're searching for a home in community X, what you basically need is a list of all the stats for homes that have sold in the last 3 months in that area, and you need to band it by price based on trends that you're noticing in the different bands of the prices. So if you're noticing that in the lower band, homes are tending to go for quite a bit over asking price, and then in the middle band, you're noticing that they're tending to go for asking price, and then at the higher band, they're tending to go for far more below asking price, that's a band, right? That's a trend. And you can kind of – you don't have to hit it right on the mark, but you want to be able to just put a line for each one and figure out what those segments are. Then you figure out where you're buying. What's the price range you're looking in? And by doing that for a variety of different things, you know, we just talked about list price versus sales price. You could talk about days on market. You could talk about a variety of different things and figure out where those bands intersect and come up with a strategy that works best for you. But I'll tell you, if this information is correct for the typical marketplace across the country, things are likely to get a little bit better for buyers in the coming months. In the really competitive areas, maybe less. We'll have to see. I'm not seeing dramatically similar data. I'm seeing a slightly lower number of offers coming in on various properties, but I'm not really seeing a decrease in what folks are willing to pay. I'm still occasionally seeing ridiculous folks who have reached a frustration point where they're like, I just want to offer enough to get this house kind of a thing. And that's never the mental space you want to be living in as a buyer, right? Now for sellers, what does this mean? Well, you know, the advice from yesterday actually I think still holds. I think sellers, if you've got some sort of a grand plan, I think this is the time to sell. It's really going to depend where you're selling and where you're going to buy. If you're going to buy in the same community and you're selling and you're moving down into a smaller place, maybe it makes sense. If you're moving out of the area into a less expensive area, I think it makes tons of sense because I think the market influences that are likely to help you the most now are least influential where you're probably going to go if it's a smaller location or a less expensive location. So I think all that works in your favor. So if you're a seller who's been considering selling or knows you're going to need to sell within the next couple of years, given what we talked about yesterday relating to an increase in REO properties, I would say that that would be an indicator that you might want to consider selling sooner rather than later. Now, what does this mean for our investors? Kind of means the same thing as it did for our buyers, that that your best deals may be ahead of us in terms of being within the next 3 to 6 months. I think what you might want to do as an investor, I mean, remember that for an investor, it's all about the numbers, right? One of the real big difference between a buyer, a standard buyer, and an investor is a buyer is going to buy it and they're going to live in it. They want it to be their home. It needs to be laid out the way they like. For an investor, it's just a numbers thing. You need to buy a home at a certain price and know that you can either then do a certain list of things to it and sell it for a profit, or you can hold on to it and rent it for positive cash flow. It's all math. A lot of other things, qualitative things, come into the mix in terms of, is it in a neighborhood where everyone has tons of cars on their front lawn? There are things you need to pin down like that. Is it in a very crime-ridden area? Is it in an area very close to public transportation? What are the convenience levels? Because you need to be able to know those things to calculate its attractiveness in terms of resale and also in renting. But by and large, it's just math. If you can figure out what the rent would be and you can figure out what the costs of holding the property are, as long as the income is higher than the cost, you're good, right? At that point, it comes down to how much do you want to make. In terms of demand and what we're looking at here, where Redfin is anticipating lower demand, I actually think this argues for investors who may have been focusing more on the quick turnaround. It may indicate an opportunity for you to exercise a little purchase and hold. If it's not going to be quite as competitive, if you're not going to see quite as many buyers out there and you're not going to get as much top dollar type sales, it might be a smart time for investors to consider shifting their strategies from a buy and flip to a buy and hold. In most areas, rentals are doing really well. It's going to depend on your individual marketplace, but calibrate yourself to the idea of a buy and hold strategy. And I think that's what this data kind of moves us toward, right? If you're an investor. Let's talk a little bit about what Redfin is actually projecting for coming up. What they have here is one quote is, this year's seasonal slowdown is more extreme than normal due to buyer fatigue over high prices and low selection, so lower inventory. Combined with gradually increasing mortgage interest rates, buyers are still in the market, but they're setting boundaries on what they're willing to pay. So that sort of translates into they're not willing to pursue properties into these higher price points that we've been seeing in some marketplaces. Now, I'd love for that dynamic to happen here. And maybe it'll happen here, but it's going to happen a little more slowly here. I would say that is absolutely happening to some extent in communities in Gilroy. As an example, I'm on the lookout for a property. I've shared my strategy before. My plan is to purchase a smaller home in generally the same area where I live now and then rent the home I'm currently in, just because it doesn't make sense to sell it. I mean, I could get a decent price for the property, but the amount of rent I could get would be ridiculous. And then once I've actually paid off the mortgage, the cash flow is just awesome. It's what I want. And I'm very comfortable with managing it. So that's the plan. And I think that's a smart way for new investors to potentially do these kinds of things. Buy a property, live in it. You get a preferred interest rate by having it be a home you live in. And then on an 18-month or 2-year schedule, buy the next property, move into that, and then rent the property that you just left, right? It just means you need to be constantly saving for that next down payment. And for me, I am doing what some people might consider nuts to do that next property. I have more faith in real things than I do in cash. So I'm actually willing to dip into retirement savings to make these purchases possible. So, I'm obviously an older dude, so I've got more money in those savings since I've been contributing to retirement since I was in my teens. So I've got more maybe than folks who are just starting out, but it's something that you'll want to consider, whatever assets you can get your hands on, or just start saving. Do that 2-year plan where you save as much as possible per month so that you can make that next step. All right. So now in my case, what this data tells me in terms of my search is I should broaden my search perhaps a little bit more south of me. Now, I've already been doing that, so I've been watching how the market's been evolving, and it is absolutely correct. Prior to just a few months ago, properties were coming on the market and disappearing on a pretty regular basis in Morgan Hill, San Martin, and Gilroy. And I'm only interested in some very specific parts of Gilroy, which tend to be the more desirable areas. So I've limited my search to those areas. What's interesting is I am seeing more properties coming on the market and staying far longer in Gilroy as time is passing than I've been seeing in Morgan Hill. But Morgan Hill is just now, with my most recent data, starting to move that direction too. We're starting to see some properties that are on the market for weeks. That's not saying much. I mean, it's still just weeks. But before, it was days. A property would sell within 10 days. So I'm, as an anecdotal on-the-ground thing, I'm absolutely seeing this happening. And what's also interesting is I'm seeing it happen in properties that are far more desirable. I've got and that can be segmented in a variety of ways, right? It can be segmented in the type of neighborhood. It can be segmented by the age of the property. It can be segmented between townhome and single-family residential. And so the desirability, I'm seeing more single-family residential homes in nicer neighborhoods, younger homes. I'm seeing them staying around longer, whereas these were properties that tended to sell relatively quickly in Gilroy. And that's not happening as much now. I'm finding I have time to sort of sit back and consider more the properties in Gilroy. Not true of the more desirable properties that come on the market in Morgan Hill. Those things are still tending to go pretty quickly. But the data I'm seeing is that fewer of them are going for multiple offers. So it's that situation where in Morgan Hill, maybe it's hard to tell. But it's the difference between being 1 inch below water and 5 feet below water. Right. So you're still drowning in either scenario, but at least you're closer to the surface now. And with a little luck, the way the market's moving, you might be able to poke your head up, see some sunlight and take a deep breath. In Gilroy, I think you're already there. I think you're actually head above water. I think that it's a reasonable marketplace for buyers. I don't think things are too crazy there. I'm not seeing things in Gilroy selling for, in general, above asking price. They seem to be selling for below asking price now. So it's clearly not a situation where folks are rushing out and offering, making multiple offers on some of these properties. Let's just go ahead now and talk a little bit about what Redfin forecasts. They forecast home prices will be up about 4.3% in July, about 2.2% in August. That's not 2.2% from July to August. That's 2.2% from the August of the previous year. So in other words, what they're showing is a general slowdown from what was happening, from the rate at which things were increasing the previous year. The number of homes sold in July is expected to grow by 14.3% year over year and by 4.6% in August. The two major factors driving the forecast are fewer people making offers and lower list prices for homes going under contract. So it's a combination. We're seeing fewer people making offers, and we're seeing lower list prices for homes going under contract. So, and I think they may have miswritten this. I don't think they mean lower list prices. I think they mean lower contract prices. I think they mean that the prices they're seeing, and it wouldn't surprise me if we're seeing homes going under contract that are coming in below asking price in this dynamic that they're talking about. So the data that they're projecting, what they're telling us is likely to come, is more of that. So you take that with what we've talked about previously. Well, yesterday we were talking about REOs, an unexpected resurgence in REOs. I think that's likely to be more a subtle move into. I think that's a bubble that's supposed to be about 2 to 3 years big, and I think we're just seeing the very edges of it. I think we're going to be moving into it, and I don't even think it'll be a bubble, and I don't think we'll see a huge acceleration. I don't think it will be you hit it and then it jumps. I think it'll be gradual over a longer period of time. But I'll tell you what, I think banks will want to move these properties relatively quickly, but I think they'll still stream them out. They don't want to overturn the apple cart, so to speak. They want to keep these prices at a certain level so that as they sell them off, they're making what they expect. They seem to realize that if they put all of these properties on the market immediately, they're going to negatively affect the market prices for homes. And so they don't want to do that. They don't want to scare away buyers. They don't want to upset the marketplace. Now, an interesting thing that plays into this as well is going to be what interest rates do. It has been very surprising. And I know folks like to attribute this, but I'm not seeing the interest rates as affecting things as much. I'm not – in the buyers I'm talking to, no one is freaking out about interest rates. Does everyone want to get the lowest interest rate possible? Absolutely. But a difference of 3.8 to 4.2 is not stopping anyone. The only thing it may be doing, and I think this is reflected in these numbers, is folks sticking more firm to their max. They're not saying, well, you know what, we can qualify for a little more. We'll go for that. I think they're trying to be more aggressive in actually getting that best possible price, a higher willingness maybe to offer less than they might under other circumstances. Maybe because of concerns about what may happen with their interest rates, particularly for those folks who aren't locked in. And most folks aren't. I mean, the way things are going with searches, buyers aren't locking in an interest rate before they're actually in contract. So that they're sort of at the whims of whatever the marketplace does. I know that the Fed keeps talking about raising interest rates. We've talked about this on the show over and over again. I really don't think we're going to see that in the near term. There would be a whole lot of issues if relating to the stock market, if the Fed raises the interest rates. And if the Fed has shown one thing over the last, since 2008, it's that they are willing to take a lot of hammering to save the stock market. Stock market's not doing fantastic even today. If interest rates were to go up, it would negatively affect the stock market. It would also negatively affect the value of the dollar in your pocket. Again, this is something we've talked about on previous shows. So eventually interest rates have to go up whether the Fed likes it or not. But I don't see them doing it. They're too convinced that their artistic manipulation of the rates is a good thing instead of actually letting market forces move where the interest rates would go. But it's going to have to happen. There really isn't a choice. It's just a question of when. But I don't think anything is going to hit critical mass in the near future. So all of these dynamics, I think, will occur in an environment where interest rates remain relatively low. And remember, I can remember when I started in this business where interest rates were around 15, 16%. In my lifetime, I can remember them being 19%. When interest rates went below 10%, I remember when they hit 9 point something, we had this insane burst of purchases because everyone thought we would never be below 10% again. I realize there's a lot of folks living today who have never even considered a world where you have double-digit interest rates on a home loan. That's normal. What we're in now is this bizarre, artificially deflated interest rate that's great for folks to take advantage of, and you should. But the truth is, that's not normal. What we had leading up to the 2007 debacle in real estate, that wasn't normal. We had subprime lending that was supported by policy as a good thing that turned around and bit us. So the data we're getting from Redfin sort of reaffirms, I think, the general theme we've been talking about for the last few days. Things are going to slow in a lot of marketplaces. Odds are that we're going to see opportunities in the next couple of quarters in terms of real estate. So I hope that ends up being true. I mean, that's where the data sort of makes me think that's where my buying intuition is going in terms of my own personal search for a property. So if you take my advice, we'll both be in the same boat. it's just a question really now of what happens. As we wrap up the show today, I wanted to let everyone know that everything's been settled in terms of my rental property in Hawaii. That's going to be – in fact, it's available right now. You could – I suppose if you weren't going to be going this weekend, you could schedule time to go and use the unit. The calendar is up. It's up at robertsrentals.us. You can take a look at all the photos, see what you think. It's a really beautiful place. It doesn't have all of the wonderful shiny updates yet, but it will over time. As time goes on, I'll be updating the flooring and the kitchen and all that kind of wonderful stuff. But we need to let it earn a little money first. So feel free to take a look at that. Again, I'm strongly encouraging all of my listeners to get in contact with me. I want to know what scares you the most. What do you see as the biggest obstacles to you achieving your goals, achieving financial independence, or achieving a level of independence that you think will make you a happier person, no matter what that is. In absolute confidence, you don't want me to, if you're gonna send me a message and say it's your wife's fault, that's fine. I'll want a little bit more specifics than that, but we'll try to talk about that too. I really want to see if we can't make this a forum for folks to explore what brings success, what nurtures it, what feeds it, and what can we do to overcome those obstacles we all tend to face. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Another day, another show. I will talk to you tomorrow. Come visit me at www.therebelbroker.com. Thanks a lot. Talk to you tomorrow.